KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome, or in the spirit of today's show, Bulacia, which is good morning in Fijian. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I'm excited to welcome our guest today, Dr. Martin Shapiro, a professor of psychology here at Fresno State, and Erica Castagnon, a current student and a recent student leader of a Fiji International Service Learning Trip. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Today we get to talk about exotic travels to Fiji and how in the world that has anything to do with Fresno State and service. Martin and Erica just got back from Fiji about a week ago, and you know their tans might have faded a little bit, and their smiles and their faces, though, when you mention the word Fiji, are still huge. Erica, let's start with you. Tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from? How'd you end up at Fresno State? What are you studying? That kind of thing.
Well, thank you again, Chris. I'm so glad to be here. So a little bit about myself. I grew up here in Fresno, and this is my last semester here at Fresno State. I'm studying media communications and journalism with an emphasis in public relations. And I came to Fresno State mostly because of the Smith Camp Family Honors College. But when I say that, I don't mean necessarily the monetary scholarship part of it. It was actually the community service component of being part of the college. I am currently applying to graduate schools in student affairs and higher education. I really want to work with college students in the future.
And this most recent trip to Fiji, that's not your first community service or even your first service learning experience or even your first international service learning experience, correct? Tell us a little about your background with community service and service learning here at Fresno State.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, a big reason why I chose to attend Fresno State was the emphasis on community service. In high school, I volunteered almost every summer with a program called Hands On. And for the last summer leading up into my senior year of high school, I was a student leader for multiple projects. So since I've been here at Fresno State, some organizations that I've been involved with have been Saturday Sports and also Be the Match on campus. So my background in service, it kind of bled over into my academics and service learning. As a public relations major, you take three core courses, which are all service learning designated courses. So in those two that I've taken so far, I'm in my third currently. I've worked with the Student Cupboard here on campus, and then I've also worked with the Fresno County Farm Bureau. I've served as a student leader in the Richter Center since 2014, and including my most recent position as a service learning coach, facilitating workshops for students in service learning courses. And so how I got to go on my first international service learning trip is quite a fun story. Many past Richter Center student leaders have been a part of the trip to Nabatini, Fiji, and they all reported back that they had such a unique and life-changing experience. This is something that I knew I couldn't miss the opportunity on doing. So I was invited to join the trip winter of 2016 with 20 students and three faculty members. I applied and was also invited to join the documentary team led under Jess Thirkelson, who is a professor in the Media Communications and Journalism Department. So that was his second trip to the village, and I was excited at the possibility of learning from him and expanding my knowledge of filmmaking in a new country at that. So it was quite an honor to be a part of that, being a PR major and learning something new and learning it in an entirely different country.
Yeah.
So our primary service project then was the beginning phases and a construction of the community kitchen right next to the community hall in the village. This is the central location of the village of Nabatini. So on my first trip, we experienced many of the New Year's traditions that are celebrated in the village. That means taking someone out to sea. We also saw about a week's worth of ceremonial practices. There was a woman from the village who was also married to someone from Fiji, a different village, but they moved to New Zealand. And so this was the first time their family as a whole, including their four children, were going to be visiting for the first time. It was a very festive trip and lots of laughter and food. But getting to see that in combination with the service that we were doing alongside of the people there was quite an eye-opening experience. And I wanted to come back.
So you got a real resume in service and service learning. I mean, a lot of co-curricular service work, volunteer work, but also several courses, service learning classes, and even this international work. But this last time, this most recent time you went to Fiji, you were a student leader. And now there are faculty leaders on these trips, as Martin was. So why student leaders if there are already faculty leaders? What was your role? What role did you play as a student leader?
It was a lot of work to prepare in the months leading up to the trip. Myself and our other student leader facilitated much of the online and in-person communication with our group of students, our faculty leads, and with MadVenture. We also oversaw and helped coordinate some of the fundraising efforts and helped arrange the flights to Fiji. Another huge part of my responsibility as a student leader and something I saw as extremely worthwhile was leading reflection every day throughout the trip. Reflection ranged from thinking on a quote about travel and responding to the points that are most relevant to your experience on the trip, to even journaling about what kinds of things will be on your mental packing list, things that you'll take away from the trip. We also wanted to keep students accountable for acting upon their goals for the trip and remind them to be present and engaged, since we're only in Nabutini, Fiji for such a short amount of time. In the village, myself and our other student leader acted as a liaison of sorts for information coming from our faculty members and from MadVenture, our project crew lead, whose name was Krista. Being one of the two students who were returning to the village for a second time, I was more familiar with the people and the surroundings of the village. Mind-blowing to think that I only spent 8 days there last year, but yet everything looks so familiar. From the moment as we passed one of the signs to the village right before in Sese, I knew we were getting closer and closer to the village. And I had another student tell me later, I got really excited because I saw how excited you were for finally being that much closer to being inside of the village. Huh. It was great. It was like returning to a relative's home for the holidays. It was comforting. It felt just, again, it was a sense of knowing where I was going to be at, and I appreciated so much of the kindness that I received coming back for the second time.
I love the fact that one of the dynamics of, or at least what I understand of these Fiji International Service Learning Trips, is this student leader component. So really, I think it's really fantastic and grateful to hear that not only are students getting involved from a service perspective and they're getting learning, but they're also developing that leadership component as well. Mm-hmm. Martin, as the faculty leader, I want to talk about your experience as well. But first, what's your Fresno State story? How did you get here? What do you do here at Fresno State? That kind of thing.
Thanks for having me here and for actually introducing me and inviting me to this Fiji project. It was just a great experience. You know, I started here in 2003. I'm a psychology professor. I focus on animal behavior and neuroscience and lab work. We do psychophysiology, which is looking at the brain and the body's reaction to decision making. But I think what brought me to this is a few things. In 2007, I joined a group at the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. It's called the Global Challenges Initiative. And this is where myself and 10 other faculty from around the nation in state colleges were brought to Washington, D.C. to develop curriculum about large global issues. And, you know, I'm really interested in these kinds of things. I mean, I know I studied really small things, but I'm really interested in, you know, the future on global trends, such as everything from climate change, biodiversity, technology, population demographics. And I've been with this group ever since, and we've met at least 15 times and created courses on campus at Fresno State. Some I teach. One of them is a course on global challenges for the Smitkamp Honors College. Erica was a student of mine. Other people who have done this Fiji trip have been students in my courses. And we deal with big global issues. And I also hear about just how important this experience in Fiji is. And then there's other courses, too, that are interdisciplinary about these large global issues. And so that makes me interested in this kind of thing. But also, I was on a task force with you on service learning for, 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm also currently the head of a task force on what's known as high impact practices, which are things you can do in classroom or outside of classroom that are academic in nature that really seem to help students. And service learning is an example, undergraduate research, internships, these kinds of things that it can be a really good part of a course and help students graduate, help students have better experiences, experiential experiences, as we call them. And so all of those things brought together made, I think, this kind of a perfect thing for me. And also, you came up to me and said, hey, you want to be involved in this? And of course, you and I have known each other for a long time, and I took your recommendation and became a faculty leader.
So there's probably some of you at home saying, wow, you know, what a tough job. This guy gets to go on a paid vacation to Fiji. And in reality, you definitely were not paid. You were also definitely a volunteer and really not on vacation by any stretch. What led you to be willing to volunteer your time for something like this?
Yeah, there's a few things. One, I know just how important these types of experiences are for students. I mean, I haven't talked with a student that has gone to Fiji and not been really changed dramatically by it in good ways. So I saw that as a really important thing. Also, my wife, Lisa Anderson, who teaches in the anthropology department, she was a faculty leader as well. And she's an anthropologist, and she specializes in Pacific archaeology and Hawaiian archaeology. This is where we met. I did my PhD in Hawaii. So this seemed to be right up her alley in terms of providing really good foundation for the students. And also, these are good experiences for me. I went almost the same experience in terms of global travel as a lot of these students. Now, I have done some traveling a little bit more, but I've not had this experience before. And I didn't know what to expect. I can watch videos, I can read articles, but until you get into the village and you work with the people there on these projects, you know, this is really meaningful to me, and it's changed a lot of my perspectives about how I teach my course and what I teach about. So I think I got out as much as any of the students did in terms of me changing as a person.
Yeah, I think sometimes we think that faculty members don't have something to learn from a course or a new experience because they're supposed to be the subject experts. And, you know, I think that a lot of times faculty members go into these experiences, and I get the sense from you that you had that same level of excitement about, oh my gosh, I get to go to Fiji and do this great new experience.
Yeah, it was excitement, but I think I also had the same apprehension that students did, just this an experience that I didn't know what to expect, to tell you the truth. And so, you know, that's both exciting and a little worrisome. So I think I was empathetic with the students, certainly more than Erica was, in the sense that she knew what to expect. So that was nice.
Erica, you have something to add to that?
Going back on the student leader experience in the group, I was really excited to reconnect with the people that I had become so familiar with in the village. But I also had to be mindful that many people on this trip, this is their first time experiencing Fiji. I had to go in with the mentality that this was going to be a different experience, even for myself, not just for everyone who's experiencing Nabutini for the first time, but myself as a leader, I knew like I was going to grow. So even that was interesting in balancing both the student role and the leader role. Mm. Like you said, faculty members do gain so much still. They have so much more to learn. But even as someone who would consider themselves a student leader on campus, I was still growing at every moment of that trip. I had to learn how to keep calm under pressure, work on interpersonal communication skills. There was being flexible with the environment that I was in. Many of us kind of go in with that. We have to have an agenda of sorts and be set on a schedule. And that can be hard for some, even for me sometimes, to get back and adjust to. But it's the easygoing nature of the people there in the village that you really do take on that mindset of no worries. Like, I'm not going to be worried. Even for just this slight moment in the day, I will take it easy, because we can get just so caught up in having to know every single step of the way. And of course, there's some things that we should definitely know about. But I know that you have to be a little bit more easygoing when you're there. And that can be really hard. It was hard for me even still being a returner. But as a leader, I think I had to adapt some of that flexibility and some of that easygoing nature so that people in the group would kind of bounce off of that and flow from that. Because if not, then it could have just, we would have been really, really tired throughout it. And that happens. But I just wanted to be that kind of support role as a leader. I just grew immensely from that.
That's great. I want to take a step back. As I understand it, these international service learning trips to Fiji, anyway, have been happening since 2014. There's been about five of them, right? And they're coordinated in conjunction with a company out of the United Kingdom called MadVenture. Erica, what can you tell us about MadVenture and that Fresno State connection with them?
So the connection with MadVenture began in 2014, like you said. There were two student leaders and former Richter Center student leaders, Emily and Alyssa. They got this bold idea to seek out an international service opportunity for students across all majors for the university to partake in. Just so happened to be a project that MadVenture had in the village of Nabutini in Fiji. So MadVenture is a social enterprise which is dedicated to empowering global communities through service, learning, and exploration of another culture. And in our case, it was Fiji. And all trips are funded by MadVenture participants, so the student volunteers, but the community and volunteers work together on a site, on a project that's decided upon MadVenture with the community that you would be serving.
You talk about an international service learning experience. You have a group of students from California going to Fiji through an organization in England. That's international, that's for sure. So on this trip, there were 15 Fresno State students altogether, two faculty members, and two high school students that took part. And Martin, I think you have some inside info on the other faculty member, as you mentioned, Lisa, your wife, and the two high school students. Can you tell us who they were?
Yeah, a big motivation for taking on this trip was the fact that I got to bring my kids who are in high school. Max, who is 16, and Isaac, who is 14.
Shout out to Max and Isaac.
That's right. And we just thought, what a great experience on so many levels for them. Not only the fact of being in Fiji and meeting people and eating the food and experiencing that, but being around college students. And I have to say, the college students just embraced my kids. They were one of the team. They were part of all the reflections, the discussion. They were digging ditches and carrying lumber and everything like that. And my two sons are, you know, a little bit different. Max, the older son, is very gregarious. First day, he's out walking around the village, making friends. I don't think there's a person in the village that didn't know Max by the end. I mean, everybody would just yell Max as he's walking by. And he had that really good experience. And then my other son, Isaac, who was also really outgoing, but probably a little shyer than Max, he made some really close friends. And suddenly now he has these friends and they're just together the whole time and they're playing cards and they're working together and they're doing all these things. Both of them, we asked at the end, what'd you think of this experience? And their first thing is, when can we go back? Are you leading this next time? Is mommy leading this next time? How can we go back? And, you know, while Lisa and I didn't have to pay MadVenture or pay our flights, you know, we had to pay for the kids. So it was a little expensive for us to go. Perfectly worth it. I'm not saying that, but we're saying, well, if we ever do this again, you guys are going to have to find ways to earn the money to do it. And they're like, yes, absolutely. We'll do it. We'll go. It was that meaningful to them and not only their relationships with the people of the village, but with the students as well. And one of the things that I said in one of the reflections where we asked what was meaningful today for you, whatever, and it's, I got to spend 8 days with my kids. And, you know, working full time, that can be a little difficult. And it was great. I learned about my kids in 8 days. It was really fantastic.
A different than your normal, typical family vacation, that's for sure. But really pretty powerful, I would think, for you as a family.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the students, my kids knew what they were getting into. And this is the kind of things that we like. It's a little bit funny. My wife and I like these types of travel things. We like immersing ourselves. We tried a couple of years ago to go on one of those 3-day cruises. And, you know, the kids had a good time. It just wasn't for us, you know. It just, we weren't able to do the things we like to do. And this was not our environment. I think this kind of trip was certainly more of our type of environment for the kind of experiences we want to have and the kind of experiences our kids get to have. And so it worked out.
You know, you mentioned a little bit about the program fees to MadVenture and certainly the cost of air travel. And I think it's important for the listeners to understand that the total cost of this package is about $3,500, right? I think there's about $1,500 in program fees to MadVenture, $1,200 to $1,500. And then airline tickets are around $1,700, $1,800. And the students bear that cost, you know, minus fundraising that they're able to do.
Yeah.
And your kids bore those same costs,
yeah,
and you and your family. So this is not something a university pays for. It's not something that's free by any stretch of the imagination.
That said, the students do get some support. And, you know, President Castro has actually been really good about adding some support additional this year to help the students. This is not something that, for the most part, the students go, oh, my parents paid for it. This is something that students have to work hard and struggle to get. And we did some fundraising, but we're not doing the kind of fundraising that is going to pay for this. I mean, the students had the financial skin in the game, so to speak. There were some sacrifices that students had to make to go over and do this service. I don't think one of them regretted it, but this isn't just a paid vacation by any standards.
So I know that the past projects have been focused primarily in terms of the service around community development, helping finish a community center, building the community kitchen, I think that you talked about, doing some drainage and some flood relief, and then working with the families and the villagers in different ways. And I think this time you were working on some toilet facilities, is that correct? And then some water infrastructure facilities?
Yeah, we were working hard. These were long days, especially the first, I think, 4 days. We were working full days. And we built 5 new toilets. These are outside toilets, but they're rather nice. But we had to dig a pretty deep hole for each one of them for the septic tank. And we had to do a lot of the building. Now, you have to understand that the people of the village are very skilled. And the skilled portion of it, the cutting the lumber. We don't just go to Lowe's and get 2x4s. They cut the lumber. Well, we can help move that lumber. They're skilled at that. We can help move it. There needed to be a lot of rocks. We can go and get the rocks. We can get the sand. And we can let the people of the village, who are good architects and good at construction, do that. I actually learned a lot about construction by just watching them. Yeah. But we were working together on this. We also put some pipes, I think about a quarter mile, into really heavy rainforest, which was quite an adventure to go through that with machetes and put pipes to bring more water. I mean, this is just one of many examples, the issue of water. We struggle with water here and they struggle with water there. And it's a great opportunity for students to see what struggling with water really means and something students had to learn.
So, yeah. And in this construction, obviously, you talk about them cutting the lumber. There's not skill saws and all that. It's hand saws and hammers and nails.
Yeah, they had chainsaws for cutting the lumber, but everything else was hand tools. And it was, they did a really nice job. And one of the things that the $1,500 goes toward in Mad Venture is to provide funds for the supplies that maybe the people of the village couldn't necessarily afford. And so they've been getting a lot of nice construction of toilets and buildings and things like that. But, you know, we aren't going over there and building it for them. We're going over there and just saying, what do you need? We'll help you. We'll lift things. We'll move things. We'll dig ditches and stuff. And, you know, it's funny. Some of the students, Griselda, I'm reminded of, she's like, well, we're going to go and do some art projects with the kids. And we did that. She's like, no, I want to keep digging ditches. I want to keep out there working. And it was hot. And yep. It was hard work. And I think that's a really important part.
So you're living in the village of Nabutini. You're working there. You're eating in the village. You're sleeping in the village. Compared to being here in your own house or your own apartment, you know, what's that like? And what are the people like? What are the living conditions like?
It is rural, but it's a beautiful landscape. You're only 100 yards from the sea, maybe, and there's so many trees everywhere. It's so much more green than what I'm used to from more like where my parents live at. It's just home after home. It's at the very edge of the city. You see pretty much just dirt fields and a couple vineyards, maybe. And so just your outside surroundings are so different. But the thing is, like Martin mentioned, going into the jungle to like get lumber, get timber, anything, like you're using the resources off the land, which is completely different from what I'm used to. The families in the village just so graciously opened up their homes for us. We stayed in their homes. They're decorated with these printed cloths and woven mats under our foam bed mats. It's so different, but at the same time, it has its own unique quality of being beautiful. There isn't much furniture to lounge on, but I mean, the village does such a great job for us to make us feel comfortable. And plus, he wants to lay inside all day when you can be outside and the water with the kids. There's just so much good stuff, especially the food. I would say the food by far is just delicious. You get fresh fruit, curry fish, and I love cassava, which is the root that they have there. The village is known for breadfruit, but I'm definitely more of the cassava fan. But it is, again, it is done up for us. I think this isn't something that the people there eat all the time.
Yeah.
But getting to try some of even the traditional foods there from the people is great.
And to make no mistake, when we're talking about these are not 5-star meals. These are, you're sitting on the floor. You, like you said, you're sleeping on the ground on foam mats. The only time there's electricity is when the generator is on. So these are tough conditions to be in. You mentioned your experiences, and I'm wondering what do you think the other 14 Fresno State students who went on this trip would say about their experience?
I think they would say that they made friends with people they would never have imagined meeting in their life, and that the experiences and opportunities to kind of live off the land, like I mentioned, will forever stay in their hearts and in their memories. You'll always find people the week after just saying, do you remember this? And I miss this. But I also want to bring this here, bring more of the easygoingness and more of the love for community and that sense of community that they want to bring back home with them.
And it's not just the joy and the good feelings and the experience of being in another place on the other side of the world. But Martin, this is a service learning class, so these are tied to course learning outcomes. What are some of those learning outcomes for this class, and how did this service in Fiji help the students obtain those desired learning goals?
There's a number of learning outcomes that MadVenture has helped to create and you've helped to create and Lisa and I helped to work into the class. This is a lot about culture. And so Lisa put up a PowerPoint where they learn about culture and things like ethnocentrism and cultural relativism and culture shock, and then asking the questions when you go there, how do you experience those things? What are your thoughts up front? How do those change? The students spend a lot of time journaling. Erica and Navmeet, the group leaders, did a great job of having about an hour of discussion at the end of the day to talk about these very issues. Students write in journals, they turn in papers, where they address all these issues related to the importance of service. I think a big thing is the issue of reciprocity. People think, oh, we go over there and we help these people and they'd be helpless without us. It's absolutely not that at all. It's we go over there, we help them, they help us in so many ways. And so what is reciprocity in terms of learning, in terms of culture, in terms of service learning? How can you bring that back to Fresno and look at service as not this sort of single direction, but this sort of reciprocal direction? Mm-hmm. And so they have to reflect on those kinds of things. They also look at the different roles that women play in the village or the men play in the village and kind of food and what is subsistence living and all those kinds of things. I personally found the issues, the broader, larger issues, to be very important too. We passed by a village on the way there that had to literally, the entire village had to be moved, lifted up and moved away from the ocean because climate change and rising sea waters.
Wow, okay.
These are things you can read about in a book, but it's so much more important when you get there and you talk about issues related to climate change, biodiversity, rainforest, water, all those things. It's so much clearer when you're there and you're living there for 8 days. The students don't just experience it. They write about it. They think about it. They put it into the context of other literature that we give them. So this is an immersion of learning that they do.
And I don't think you can ever get that from just reading an article in a book or reading a textbook or listening to lectures.
You can get some of it.
Yeah,
you get the knowledge, you get the information, and maybe you watch a nice TED Talk. But when you get there and you experience it and you wake up in the morning, experience it, and you go to the sleep experiencing it, it's very different learning.
Well, I know that this is not the only international service learning experience that Fresno State helps run. If I understand it right, they've had these programs in Tanzania and in Hong Kong and the Dominican Republic. Erica, as a Richter Center student leader, you mentioned, how would someone who is interested in either attending or participating in one of these future trips, or maybe in supporting the students who are going and the cost that we mentioned, how would they get in touch with someone about doing that?
The best contact for getting in touch with someone who's been involved is going to be through the Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning. They're located on the Fresno State campus in the Thomas Administration Building, room 107, or you can call them at 559-278-7079.
You know, I was lucky enough to participate in one of these trips back in 2015, and I have to say, I've spent about 25 years in higher education, and I don't think I've ever had a more powerful professional experience than the two-week international service learning trip I spent in Fiji. It really is a unique and a very special experience. So, vanaka vaku levu, which means thank you very much in Fijian to both of you, Eric and Martin, for helping make an experience like this possible for other students. And we thank you for being with us today. That's about it for our time together. Thanks again to my guests, Martin Shapiro and Erica Castagnon. And thank you to our listeners for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service and Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.